friend Deborah again. Oh, Deborah, hello, hello.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for that great intro and that wonderful prayer. That was wonderful.
You're welcome. My pleasure. I'm just so privileged to have you on because it's so important for young women today to be guided, and especially from someone that I would consider yourself to be really savvy, because to spend the time in an industry where there's the potential for greatness, and there's also, from the things that have been shown on TV, many, many young women who have had some very serious negative things happen in the pursuit of careers in modeling and acting. And so to me, not only for them, but for just the young women in general, I'm very, very excited. So I guess to get started, of course, that you've called something Heartlight Girls, and I've just got to know, what is that?
Okay. We're a publishing and motivational company that helps raise self-esteem in young girls. It's basically about building a strong inner foundation prior to reaching the turbulent teenage years. Hopefully, having girls become less vulnerable to all of the negative influences of adolescence. It's about building that inner foundation, and it's so needed today. The idea is to empower girls from the inside out.
Okay. Well, it sounds beautiful. Could you give me a little more detail on just what it means to when you're doing your empowering of girls from the inside out?
Sure. Well, basically, that's where self-esteem begins. It's really at the core of who we are. And we are born with all of the self-esteem that we need, self-assurance, confidence, and we are just complete and full. And unfortunately, as we get older and we are taught by influences in our environment, whether it be parents, teachers, the media, peers, we start feeling and learning that we might be less than. And the idea is to teach girls to go within themselves to remember and access that part of themselves that they always have had, going within themselves to look for their own validation and self-approval versus going to the outside world. Our society is very externally based. We are an outer-directed society. The media really enforces the external focus that we have. And all of a sudden, you've got all these people running around looking for their own happiness and validation outside of themselves. And it's a major issue in our society. For one, it causes so many health-related issues. Stress alone, stress-related illnesses, depression, anxiety are very, very high amongst adults. And it's really because we are looking for whatever that is that will make us happy or that will make us feel good about ourselves, and we're looking outside of ourselves where we've always had it within us. We just forget. So it's really time to teach this to children. There's a whole movement going on, and so many adults are learning this, unfortunately, because they've had so many wake-up calls. But adults are learning it to go within themselves and access this inner strength and this inner power and their inner happiness. But it's really essential to teach it to children as well.
Oh, well, this is beautiful. I mean, Deborah, my gratitude is extended to you. Here you are in the midst of, I mean, literally like David taking on Goliath, because our capitalist culture is based on consumerism. And in one way or another, each commercial, whether it's in the TV or the radio, the print, they're all so much designed saying to people, if you just buy enough stuff, you will find your way to happiness or fulfillment or look beautiful or whatever, have that life you want. And that is going out there with, I don't even know, I mean, billions upon billions of dollars spent to give this message to people over and over and over again. I mean, that's massive energy. And you are a courageous warrior, or I guess Xena warrior princess, maybe a friend of hers, but to take this on, and it is so needed.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I thought about that. I mean, you literally would have to be a warrior to take on the media and to try to change what you just referred to as a billion-dollar advertising industry. And taking on the media is, and people have tried to do it, and little by little there's gains being made around it. However, I decided to go in the back door, is what I called it, and because fighting the media is a little tough, especially overnight. So my going in the back door is, what if you took the girls and children and people are going to be exposed to the media no matter what. It's there. It's not going to go away tomorrow. So why not help them build an inner foundation so that when they see something, when they experience something, they can at least go within themselves and trust themselves and know what they believe to be the truth and then make the decision based on that. So it's really, it's about building that foundation so that they can withstand the media.
Okay. So then when they do make buying decisions, they're doing it from a place of inner balance and not from this programmed artificial need. Oh, brilliant. Well, may I ask you, what age group are you targeting and why?
Well, my target is primarily preteen and teen girls. First of all, this is such a vulnerable age group, and there is so little out there for them. As we all know, you go to any bookstore, there's an abundance of empowering and spiritual merchandise and materials for adults, and I think that is wonderful. And there's also a small growing market for young kids, very small children. I found some wonderful books for my four-year-old that have wonderful messages and are very empowering, but there's a large gap that exists for the preteen and the teen market. And sadly, they're the ones that need it. So I just felt that by developing the books and some of the merchandise and working with that age group, it would help prepare that foundation, especially the preteens. The way I designed the books is really to attract the attention of preteens. They're beautifully illustrated, and they also have short chapters in them. So it's based on what preteens are looking at and reading right now. And it can still, you know, a younger reader, because of the pictures, could still enjoy them, or an older teen would still enjoy them. I have women that just are crazy about the message and the pictures as well. But the idea is, let's go for the preteens. That is such a vulnerable time for girls. There's a critical shift that takes place from the preteen to the teen years, and girls are especially vulnerable to it. Many parents will understand what I'm about to say. You might have a child, let's say 8, 9, 10 years old, who is open, lighthearted, fun-loving, exuberant, just loving life, free to completely be herself. And then what seems like almost overnight, she becomes withdrawn, sullen, cynical, almost cranky, and you're like, where did my daughter go? Who is she?
Yeah.
Who stepped into your body overnight? And right, and it's because what's happening is girls are basically, they're moving from what I believe is that from their true self into what society is making of them to become their false self. And that's a very challenging place. They are losing their, or forgetting, I should say, their, because you never lose it. They're just forgetting about the essence of who they really are. And they're trying to step into a mold that society has placed upon them in terms of what they should be. I've got a copy of a teen magazine sitting on my desk. And first of all, Paris Hilton is on the cover looking extremely glamorous. The titles are 400 Ways to Look Hot, Dress Like a Celebrity, Get Sexy Eyes, and Make Your Crush Want You. Girls are bombarded by all of these messages, and to fit in with their peers, and especially as they're becoming teens, they're noticing they're getting attention from boys, they're realizing they're taking on a persona that means that they have to give up a lot of who they truly, truly are. And it's basically robbing them of their essence, and it's very confusing for girls. They're in these bodies that are physically looking mature and even acting mature, but they're still emotionally little girls inside. And it's very confusing for them. You know, girls are growing up so much faster these days, and the media is encouraging it completely. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's going to be really, really hard. I was just, if you took someone that was in feeling good and exuberant and happy, and you, let's say, kidnapped them or took them away, and the net result of the experience was that they became the way you described, sullen, depressed, and withdrawn. I mean, boy, that would be serious child abuse.
Right, exactly.
If that happened to, you know, to an individual child because they were taken away and something was done to them.
Mm-hmm.
And here you're describing a circumstance where the children aren't taken away, but through external influences, a net result sounds kind of abusive to me. I don't, you know, want to blame anybody here, but that's not good. Wow, thank you for, you know, bringing that to our attention and especially offering some things. Any other things that you feel are, you know, are challenges that are facing the girls today?
You look at the statistics alone about anorexia, bulimia, depression, suicide for teens. I mean, it's staggering. It really is staggering, and it seems like girls are so much more vulnerable to it. I read a statistic like 1 in 8 adolescents suffer today from depression, and girls are twice as likely to suffer than boys.
Twice as likely.
Oh.
Huh.
Yes. And that is because adolescence is challenging for boys and girls. It really is. But it seems like girls in particular, because they feel that they have such a role that they need to fit into, that they literally will give up of who they are. Boys, not so much. Boys will stay a little more true to themselves, and these are generalities, of course, but girls will more likely acquiesce a part of who they are, possibly to please a boy, get his attention, because that's what the media is teaching us. This is how you get attention from the opposite sex.
Oh, some of the stories that I've heard of bright young women that denied their intelligence so that they could play it down and be kind of in that feminine role of the dumb blonde type of thing for men.
Oh, absolutely. That is a huge issue. Girls just really hiding who they are. I know I even dealt with that in high school because I was actually kind of a brain kid, and some of the classes I was one out of zero or several girls in my class, you know, in like a math class or something, and it was really kind of embarrassing. I had one of the boys say to me once when we were getting our test grades back, he looked at, and I had gotten an A on this paper, and he said, you know, if I didn't know you better, I would think you were smart or something. And, of course, I had a little crush on him, and so I thought, oh, my gosh, I have to play dumb now, you know, and stupid down because it must not be attractive or something to get a better grade than he does or something. So it's challenging.
Mm. Oh, truly.
Yeah.
Truly, wow. That's, no wonder there's so much. And then, like you said, twice the depression among young women than men. Now, so you'd mentioned one experience like in high school of, you know, of that. I didn't know if there were other things that in your background that kind of motivated you to get into this field and write these books.
Oh, gosh. Well, Ken, as you know, our background is a teacher for us. And we all have our purpose, and I think life sets us up to fulfill and pursue our purpose. So I was definitely what I would call a carrot chaser. That's one of the consequences of looking outside of yourself for your happiness, for your self-esteem, for your validation and approval. You know, I'm visualizing a horse with a carrot stick, and it's
yes,
trying to get it, and it can't, and it's getting exhausted. So I was, you know, I was in a very superficial, glamorous industry, and believe me, I have wonderful experiences, and I am so grateful for every single one of those experiences. I was living a life that many would really, really just die to have. It was glamorous. There was the travel, there was the excitement, there was the doing films with celebrities, and there was the hobnobbing at all of the restaurants and just anything. It was the champagne and the limousines, and you know, everyone would say, "Oh my gosh, what a lifestyle." And but I found that the more involved and deeper I got with this, all of these things, the more empty I would feel. And ironically, here I would see people that supposedly had it all, and I use that in quotes, that looked like they had it all, but they themselves had an emptiness about them. And I was just in this industry where everyone was searching for the next fix, searching for something bigger, searching for the next job, searching for the next event, just looking. And you just get to the point, you're like, where does it stop? And where does all this looking get to us? Or where does it get us? And, you know, as it does, the universe will send you wake-up calls when the time is right.
Uh-huh.
And because I've always been a spiritual seeker, and so it was kind of ironic that I was in this very superficial industry. And I think the universe said, okay, it's time to wake up. So I was getting my share of wake-up calls, most of them not very pleasant, you know, including one was a near-death car accident that really made me realize how dispensable our physical body is. And, you know, I had a lot of healing time involved around that, and just with the way the career was set up, I did a lot of travel, and I had time to read, time to speak with people that had different beliefs, and I was really exposed to a lot of different things that I might not have been exposed to, especially growing up in the Midwest. And I just found that I became a sponge for inner growth, spiritual knowledge, and, you know, the statement where when the student's ready, the teacher will come.
Yeah.
I had that happen serendipitously all over the place. You know, you hear about, like, books jumping off bookshelves at you and bumping in the right person, and you're all of a sudden having this conversation. And I just found that in spite of this background that I was in, where I was dealing with superficial people and people that were so externally focused, especially on the external appearance, that what I was learning was that it's really not about the external, and it's really not about how we look. And I worked with some of the most beautiful people in the world, and sadly, they were some of the most unattractive people once I got to know them, and that was really powerful for me.
Wow.
Yeah, and I found that in myself, that when I would become so focused externally, and that was all that I was about, that I really didn't like myself. And so I was feeling very challenged around my own self-esteem issues. You know, and who would know, as you're, like I said, as you're shooting a television commercial and you're struggling with major self-esteem issues. So it was challenging for me.
Well, for sure. I guess you talk about it, one training to learn modeling skills, and then another to go to a very challenging school to really go deep into confronting that part of yourself that said, wait a minute, you know, who am I? Where do I really find my happiness here?
Right. Oh, I did a lot of who am I. Right. Well, yeah, I went to life school, and I have to say I am so eternally grateful for every single lesson, you know, and even the uncomfortable ones.
Well, to me, to hear that from you, I think that's so important, because many people, there's been enough pain in their past, and it's a challenge sometimes to accept those hard lessons as something that's a positive contribution to their greater growth. And so with you and the work that you're doing, it lets me know that when people turn to you, when they go visit the www.heartlightgirls.com or decide to send you an email at Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, at heartlightgirls.com, or even reach you on the telephone for perhaps consulting or more about upcoming work that you're doing. I believe that's 303-690-5603. When that takes place, that really you are there coming from personal experience of having been involved in some things and kind of gone through sometimes what's called these dark nights of the soul or some real deep personal challenges, and yet have come through it. I've met you personally through attending some of Wayne Dyer's work, so I know you still continue to study and that you have a deep passion for what you're doing. This is just really wonderful. I'm so excited for how you've taken all of this and turn it into something positive and then show the way to these young women. And then I guess the name Heartlight Girls, what inspired you to that from all of this work?
Well, Ken, going through, and you termed it perfectly, basically the dark night of the soul, going through my own personal issues and my own personal self-exploration, and coming out from the other side of it and just realizing that I had a message and all of that was there for a purpose and for me to hopefully take what I had gone through and become a teacher and become an inspiration for others. And so I knew I had a purpose and I knew I had a message, but I just wasn't sure how or what. And I think so many people are challenged by that. They're like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And I just encourage someone to really stay open to that space and just ask to be guided on what that is. And it comes to you at the strangest time. I wasn't sure if I wanted to work with women, girls, write books for adults, for itty-bitty kids, I didn't know what it was. I just knew that there was a purpose and that I had a message. And I just trusted, let go, and I thought when the time is right, I would find out. What happened to me when I was working out, I was on a Stairmaster, and I had programmed it for probably close to an hour. And, you know, you read your magazines, you listen to whatever you do on the Stairmaster to hopefully make the time go faster.
That's right.
Yeah, and I was on the last, 10 minutes, and I needed that extra boost just to get through. So I flipped on the TV, and I was just completely channel surfing, as sort of a stimulation for me. And it was in the middle of the day, and I came across a soap opera. And I paused on it because I was just compelled to watch without the volume. I was compelled to watch what was going on. And there were two girls, probably about 8 or 9 years old, and they were in a very well-to-do setting. You could tell they lived in a beautiful home. They had every material thing that their hearts would desire. And they were playing with dolls. And they were very focused on, and then I turn up the volume a little bit just to listen to the conversation, and they were very focused on what the dolls were wearing. They were exchanging clothes and saying, no, she wanted this, and the shoes. I mean, and it was very much it was all about the exterior of what these dolls were. And it started me thinking, and I thought, that is what is very typically available for girls, that age group. And these are their toys, and these are their influences, and they pay so much attention to what they're putting on their dolls, and then in a few years, what they're putting on their body. And it was so exterior-focused, and I thought, now, isn't it a shame that there's really nothing out there that can really teach a girl about her internal self? There's so much out there showing us what we can do to make our external self look good. There's what is there to for our inner self. And I just, all of a sudden, I mean, it was like I was zapped with this energy. And the funny thing is, I had been on a Stairmaster for almost an hour already. I went almost for another hour and a half, like full speed, because I was so energized and I was so excited about this idea. And I thought, wait a second, that's it. That's why I'm on this planet. This is my purpose. It is to bring this awareness to girls, because it's not being done. What about if they could learn that it's perfectly fine to pay attention to how you look and what you're wearing and all of these external things, but the most important thing is what's going on the inside. That's where it starts. And it's about, let's say it starts with the heart. And it's the heart, once you have your heart in place, that's the first thing. And after that, everything else is just extra. But you cannot even begin to be fully who you can be until your heart is in place. And so I started with this concept about the heart. And then I went into what my own interpretation, which is called what I think of as the heart light. And I just, it's a term that I use in the book. And even though they're fictional books, I teach the concept of the heart light. And it's basically, to me, the heart light is, it's our inner essence. It's that spark of the divine that we are born with that is always, always there. It can fade over time. Unfortunately, you know, I use the example of a flashlight. And you have this bright flashlight that you turn on. And one at a time, you put this thin layer of gauze over it, almost like a veil. And the gauze represents the layers of environmental conditioning or false illusions that we believe to be true that we take on throughout our lives. And one by one, it doesn't happen all at once, but one by one, eventually that light becomes more and more dim. The light is still on, it's just we can't see it very well. And even in the books, I use the metaphor of the sunset, where even on a cloudy day, the sun is still there, and you just have to trust that it's there. A common mantra that I use throughout the books is remember, and it's about remember your heart light. Remember the heart light. Let's remove these layers, these veils that we have accumulated over the years. And the idea, let's get to these girls before they've accumulated too many layers. One of the reasons I chose to work with the preteens in targeting these books was they are still open. There still is an openness in the age group where they're open to learning and they have not accumulated too many layers. So if we can remind them at that age, which is, like I said, it's the age where that critical shift takes place, it's almost like their heart light wants to really, really get dim as they enter the teenage years. And if we can remind them of this beautiful light within themselves that is always there, it's their strength, it's their inner beauty, it's their power, it's everything that they could ever need that they're looking for outside of themselves. Let's remind them how bright this light is. Let's remove the layers, and that hopefully they'll take into their adult years and keep it shining brightly. You know, unfortunately, many of us have rediscovered our own heart lights, but you know, we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, we've done it so later in life, and my passion really is to help these girls, remind them of it while they're still young so that they can really live their lives fully and completely and not only make their lives better, but really it's a healing passion for the planet.
Oh, absolutely. Well, if you're studying anything, whether it's learning to ski or to drive or anything, a teacher would much rather work with someone that is new, that doesn't have any bad habits,
right,
than someone that has already learned some ways that make it harder to reteach them. So your example is just beautiful in terms of the timing of it.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting because even when I work with women, I basically take them to that little girl state because basically they're all still little girls. And it's take them to that very vulnerable state where we can access that light within ourselves, that place before it became too dim, and really making it bright.
Oh, you know, as you were saying that, an image was flashing in my mind for our listeners of the movie Peter Pan,
mm-hmm,
and Tinkerbell, because the image of Tinkerbell was, to me, a playful reminder of this bright, loving, inner goodness that is in these young women. And as Tinkerbell was not getting some of that appreciation, her little light started to fade, and it was only by people acknowledging and appreciating her that her light came back on again, and that she sparkled. So, I mean, many different ways to remind people of the work that you're doing and how important it is. So, now, I know that from looking at your website, that www.heartlight, heartlightgirls.com, or sending that email to you at Deborah@heartlightgirls.com, or calling at 303-690-5603, that in the series of books, you've, I guess, prioritized some to be able to sequence this so that you can maximize the learning. And then this book, the first one, from looking at your website, and that cover, if you, when you go to see your website, folks, just a beautiful, beautiful drawing. I think a friend, was it in Maui, that did that for you?
Yeah, I found a wonderful artist. She's in Honolulu.
Honolulu.
And, yeah, I searched for almost a year and a half for just the right artist that was could portray what I had in my mind on paper. And someone that had the beautiful energy that would go along with the beautiful illustration. So I feel very fortunate. Her name is Dawn Petrie, and she's just so very blessed to have found her. So.
Yeah, good. Well, I mean, when you see the cover of that book due out next year, Beauty Secret, and I guess people, can they reserve copies for that now?
I have.
Or is that getting set up? How are you doing that?
Yeah, I have a mailing list on my website that if someone is interested, they can send me an email or just sign up for the mailing list, and we can reserve a copy. I will start pre-selling the copies at the beginning of the year, and I expect the book to be out the around March or so. So, and one thing I will offer to listeners is if you put a mention in the, if you sign up for the mailing list, I will take care of the shipping. So I'll offer free shipping if someone wants to mention that they heard it on your show. So.
Oh, well, that's a blessing. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Now, this can you give me a little more? We're kind of curious. This initial book, Beauty Secret. Where'd you kind of get that idea, and how does that all fit in with your plans for these books?
Well, I decided that was really the perfect place to start. First of all, because of my own background and experience, it was something I felt so passionate about. Like I said, that's where, in watching that one afternoon on a Stairmaster, watching about those girls playing and really about the inner beauty versus outer beauty issue, I just felt like it was a perfect place to start. And just because it's such a prevalent issue these days with girls being so focused on their looks and really wanting to emulate the celebrity role models out there, and unfortunately many of them aren't healthy role models. And so girls will talk about, oh, they want to look like this person or this person or this person, and I just felt like there had to be a healthier role model out there. And so that's where I came up. I invented a character, Beauty. All of the characters from the books have names that I feel are a description of spirit, really. There's Beauty, there's Joy, there's Faith, there's Grace. These are some of the names from the girls of the upcoming series, right?
Beauty Secret, that means that it is actually a person whose name is Beauty.
Yes, her name is actually Beauty, and she learns the lesson of inner beauty versus outer beauty. And you know, she goes through a frightening experience. She is guided by an angel that teaches her the value of inner beauty and teaches her that without inner beauty shining brightly, outer beauty quickly dims. And I just felt that this was such an important message to take the focus off from the external. You know, there are many girls out there that are actually struggling with self-esteem issues because they don't feel pretty enough. And in essence, is some of the most beautiful people aren't necessarily physically attractive. They just have such beautiful inner energy. And I don't feel like that is being taught anywhere in our society. So that is the focus that I really, really wanted for the first book. And the idea is, it's not that there's anything, I mean, I spent my life in the fashion industry. There's nothing wrong with fashion or beauty or any of that. But I know with me, it certainly takes a backseat to my true self, who I am inside. And those are just icing on the cake, if you want to put it that way. But it's really, it's the focus is on the internal. And I just felt like that was the place to start.
That makes beautiful sense. As you were saying that, it was kind of thinking in my mind of the external, like looking at the idea of preparing for Christmas and having all of these ornaments that could be placed on a tree. And yet what your work says to me is that without that inner beauty, it would be like placing these ornaments on this old, dried-up
Charlie Brown tree.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you. That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got to have a wonderful inner self to produce that base, that foundation upon which we can add these outer decorations.
Absolutely. That is perfect. In fact, I often use that analogy of the tree, and that without the roots, my goal is to build the roots of these girls so that they can withstand a hurricane, and their branches can be blowing around and the leaves can fall off. And
yeah.
But when the storm subsides, there still stands the trunk and the roots. And that is the goal, is to build the roots and the trunk of these girls so that no matter what's coming at them, and we all know they're going to get a lot when they enter the adolescent years, that their roots and their foundation will still be solid.
Yeah, so that they can continue to blossom over and over again.
Absolutely, right. And you have that, and you know what? The leaves come out, the flowers come out, and exactly, and it's very easy.
Yes. Oh, that's exciting. Wow. Oh, now I know there's going to be the parents out there, because you're talking about things from a very important inner, or what some people would call a spiritual foundation. Can you offer a little bit more advice to the girls, to the parents, for how to add some of this essence in their lives?
Oh, Kenya, I love to speak to parents. First of all, I'd like to say that you as a parent are your best teacher and role model for your child. And this became really present for me just recently when a friend of mine confided that what was really challenging for her in her childhood was when her father would always say, "Do as I say and not as I do." And he would preach to her about how to behave, but then he would not take on that behavior himself. And she said it was very confusing for her and very challenging. And, you know, kids are smart, especially kids today. They are so smart, and they know better. So actions speak so much louder than words in a way. So I say be that role model. If you would like to increase spiritual awareness in your child, make sure that you have your own spiritual practice and teach it to them. Let them see you participating. One of my favorite things is I love to bring my daughter to my yoga class with me. You know, I don't do it all the time, but every now and then it's a special treat for her. She'll come to yoga with me or meditate with me. One of my favorite things is I love to watch the sunset. For me, that is the time of day when I feel the oneness of everything, and I have a beautiful view where I live and of the Rocky Mountains, and I get this gorgeous sunset, and many times I will bring her with me, and I'll just ask that she sit with me and enjoy the sunset. Sometimes we say our thank yous and say what we're grateful for. Sometimes we just sit in silence, and even if she doesn't feel like sitting in silence with me, I'll just ask her to sit next to me and read a book. But at least she's growing into it. And I think that is so important for parents to do, is teach their child the importance of that practice, and especially the importance of stillness and silence. As many of us know, that is where we access our higher self and our guidance and all of that. And our society is not geared toward that, and especially kids, between the television, the computer, the portable MP3 players that are going with them 24/7, you know, I always say, for goodness sake, turn off the TV. Let's get some silence. Teach your children and help them create that environment. Make them have silent times, or bring them out into nature. Nature carries such a high vibrational energy, and it's such a wonderful place to access that the vibration of what we need to connect with in terms of spiritual awareness. And so if you can create the silence and bring them out into nature and have them forget about the TV for a while or the music or the computer, I think it just would become so much more helpful. You hear stories about how 10-year-olds are saying, I'm so stressed. It's like you're 10 and you're, you know, what is going on? And one of the biggest de-stressors is just to go into that, have some quiet, surround yourself with some peacefulness and some quiet. Another thing I really like to encourage parents, pardon me?
Well, it's wonderful to emphasize that. As you were saying that, Deborah, a quick reminder here, folks, if you haven't jotted it down, www.heartlightgirls.com, HEARTLIGHTGIRLS.com, Deborah, DEBRA, at heartlightgirls.com, and the phone to reach her, 303-690-5603. Deborah, what was coming to my mind is a selection of inputs. There's the external inputs that media puts out there, and when you're talking about this spiritual awareness, we have this wonderful guidance, this intuitive nature that most parents have seen in their children, this wisdom. And so by taking this quiet time, it's not necessarily quiet. It can be very revealing of some of the inner guidance. And that's wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I like to play games with my daughter, and to help her build her intuitive confidence. Like if we're waiting for an elevator, I'll say, okay, which one is going to show up? And, you know, things like that, just to help her maybe connect with that part of herself that is her intuition. You know, she's not always right, but a lot of times she is. I mean, it's interesting, the intuition that young children have before, again, it gets buried by those layers. So I think that's so important to access that. And another thing that I feel very strongly about is monitoring, helping your child monitor their thoughts and their words. The whole I am. We all know the power of the I am, and how as soon as we say I am, the creative process starts. And how many times do you hear children say, I'm stupid, or I'm not happy, or I'm ugly? And those are really powerful things. What I encourage is if someone needs to have that moment of expressing themselves, change the I am to I feel, which means I temporarily feel like this. However, I can change it in a moment just by stating what it is I want and how do I want to be. And that's where the visualization comes along, too. But, you know, if a child says, I am going to fail this test, well, if you say I am, then you start creating that. Let's visualize what would you like to experience. Let's visualize you getting that paper back and you've got an A on it. So helping your child really be mindful of what they're not just thinking, but what they're saying out loud. And again, tying in some visualization with that is really important too. And then going with what's so important, especially which we are all familiar with the last few days, is with Thanksgiving and all that, is the gratitude. Just being, there's always something to be grateful for. And sometimes children, and especially as they get older, you'll hear about, they want to focus on what's wrong. This is boring. This is wrong. You know what? There's a lot that is right and that we can be grateful for. And in any situation, there's always something to be grateful for. I think I mentioned to you, I love to do that with my daughter, whether it's before eating or during a beautiful sunset or while we're taking a walk or something. Let's do our gratefuls. Let's just talk about and say thank you to what we're grateful for. And it's fun. It becomes really fun.
Oh, sure. Well, I don't know. You probably have done this, but I don't know how many of our listeners have actually done a direct feeling comparison to take a few moments and either speak about some things that bother them, three or four things, and then speak about things that are wonderful or make or filled with joy, and just to check in and notice what happens to my feelings. How's my energy compared to, you know, with one group and the other?
Oh, I love to do that. In fact, that's one of the exercises that we'll do in a workshop sometimes. Or even to say the same thing and say it one time with a frown on your face and one time with a smile on your face. And just feel how good it feels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and those are all the things when I talk about your heart light. That's your heart light lighting up. And you can almost visualize it. You can feel it. You can visualize this light within you just starting to glow through you, and it's coming out through your smile, and it's coming out through the sparkle in your eyes, and it really is visible. You know, sometimes you just meet someone and you don't know what it is about that person, but you're drawn to them, and they have a magnetic personality, and it's that inner glow that's coming out.
And isn't that fun?
It's so fun.
It's fun to be around, and of course, it's fun when we're actually feeling that within ourselves.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, and that's why I feel so compelled to really want to teach this, especially to the younger generation, because they are our future.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, The Beauty Secret is the first book, and then you said there's a series. I don't know if you'd give us maybe a hint of some of the others coming up and how we can get a hold of these books. And of course, myself, and I know my listeners are sitting here just thrilled with your wonderful personality and energy. And as a background as a motivational speaker, are you still doing that? Can you be reached for speaking engagements?
Absolutely. Yeah, all of the contact information that you've been giving out are great ways to reach me. I love speaking with girls, preteen, teens, women, parenting groups, anything like that. So, yes.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. And then
you want to know about some of the other topics? Sneak peek?
Some of your future books.
Well, the next one, I'm actually writing it now. It's one of my favorite topics, and I've touched on it in terms of the guidelines for parents. It's about the power of your thought and your words, and it's teaching that to kids. And it's a really, really fun story, and I'm not going to give it away or anything. But and after that, I've got accessing your intuition and going beyond your fears, the gratefulness theme, the oneness theme, how we are all one. Inner peace. So I've got plenty planned to keep me busy for a while.
Oh, I guess. And your young daughter Ella, as this series goes on, I mean, I'm anticipating you doing this for lots of years, so that who knows? I think we may end up seeing both of you working together at some point.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because I've actually had that visual that would happen, and I have to say she was one of my biggest motivations. I actually had my aha moment, that moment on the Stairmaster I mentioned earlier, was actually before she had been born, and it was sort of lying dormant within me, because shortly after that I had her, and as any young mom knows, you're very busy with an infant in the beginning. But it seemed like as she started to get a little bit older, I just knew that I had to get this message out. And if it's for every single girl out there on the planet, but she was my biggest motivation, was her.
absolutely. And I mean, it's easy to envision that with all the support that she's getting from you, she'll be a shining example of what you want to illustrate, and will be able to speak directly to some of her peers, of the people that you're targeting, in her own words. So, I'm just tantalized by that imagining of that future, of the sharings as she grows and as you continue to blossom in your work.
I am too. I got goosebumps. That sounds great. You know, her name means light.
Ah.
Yeah. So I selected that because Ella is a version of Helen, which means light, and I just thought that was so beautiful. So, yeah, I expect her to be a little light eventually on the planet. She already is. So.
Yes, exactly.
Of course I'm biased, but.
Well, and to know that you worship that light in all young children as a support to mothers everywhere. That's something so beautiful about you, Deborah. My dear beloved listeners, I want to thank you for being here with us. And Deborah, thank you for sharing of your time to make this day so special.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me the space, and it was really beautiful. Thank you.
Good. Well, and people can tune in and listen as the archives are put up to hear this or refer other people to that. And I am thrilled, and we'll look forward to maintaining contact and giving people ways to stay in touch with you over time, Deborah. So
great.
Bless you, bless you, bless you. And my dear listeners, bless you, and thank you so much for tuning in. Get ready for more exciting adventures in advanced living. And I thank you and bless you and look forward to talking with you and visiting next week. Until then, God be with you and goodbye.
Let go of it, God. Let myself do. Let go of it. Let